Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, can we all stand for the reading of God's word? I'm going to read to us today from Daniel 5. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened, so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven. And the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed: Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson.
Thank you, B. Church, let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. We recognize that you're here, that we are amongst you in your presence in the Holy of Holies, Lord God. And we are reminded of your word that says, from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever and ever. We dedicate our time to you today and ask that you would open our minds and our souls and our hearts to hear from you, Lord God. May your word penetrate every single person's heart, that we would be transformed and changed by the renewing of our minds today in your presence. And all who believe this says, amen, amen. Take a seat, y'all. Say hello to somebody. Say, hey, how you doing? I'm glad you're in the house this morning. All these beautiful faces up in here. See, you already know it's not Pastor Nelly who's preaching right now. Anyway, we are at the final stages of this series. I hope that you have enjoyed this time. I have really enjoyed A Light in Babylon, looking at Daniel. And I, to be honest, I still had the kids' version of Daniel in my head, you know, thinking of the little Daniel goes and he goes into the lion's den and then he goes into, the fiery furnace and like, ooh, he just prays to Jesus and he's covered. But amongst these chapters, I've been seeing how it continues to echo. And if you look a little bit deeper, that his life is continuing to demonstrate how he is dedicated to God. And so I was thinking about how sometimes things aren't always how we think that when we first look at them, we're like, oh yeah, that's that. But then we look at them the second time, we're like, oh no, there's something much more deeper. So we're going to do something real deep in the beginning. Are you ready? Thanks. We're going to, I appreciate that. Thank you for preaching with me this morning. We're going to look at a couple of images and see what, if they really are what they look to be. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. Do you remember? If you just spread this black substance, here we go, and try and figure out what they are, and I'm not trying to divide a church in the beginning of the message, Lord Jesus, but is it Promite? Is it Vegemite? Is it Marmite? Well, let's see. Is it something else? Is it molasses? Seriously, I'm thinking. Okay, this first one, what is it? Is it a feather? Oh, it is. It is a cloud. I think it's because it's in the sky, literally. That's probably what stole it away, right? That's just an easy one to just ease us in, okay? The second one, is it a UFO? Is it? See, thank you, boys. I appreciate you, youth. Come on. It's actually a stadium. So the fog is kind of like hiding it. It isn't what it seems to be. This next one here. Are you sure? Is it not a 90s R&B video clip? P. Diddy with the fur coat. I see you, Edwina. I know you were thinking that. Sorry, I didn't mean to shout you out there. No, it is. It's a grader. Thank you, B. It's a grader. And this. It's an egg. Hands up who thinks it's an egg. Yeah, hands up who thinks it's something different but doesn't know. Yeah. Okay. It is, drum roll please. Where are you, Nico? It's actually, you know, in a tin can when you get the fruit, it's like half of a peach. I know, right? Mic drop, literally. Seriously. And what about this? What is this? Help me out. Yeah, it's like a cup, right? Goblet, yeah. Is that because you can't see it? There you go. I'm just helping out the people at the back. What is its function, do you think? Two things. To hold liquid, right? And the second would be to pour it out. Pour it out. Okay. All right. Keep that in mind, okay? Keep that in mind. The title of my message is Represent. Who do we stand for? And how is our representation glorifying God? Nice. So, this chapter is better known. We're going to look at chapter 5 of Daniel. And this chapter is better known as the writing on the wall. And the TikTok version, I guess you can say, of these events is that the hand of God comes down and writes on the wall as King Belshazzar, the ruler of Babylon at the time, is having a feast. He's munching, he's partying, and the hand of God interjects and says, hold up. But there's so much richness in this. So we're going to take it back a little bit. And we're going to start from the very beginning. A very good place to... Shout out to my Julie Andrews people and fans. Start from the beginning and look at something prior to the main text. And we can probably categorize them in three sections. Writing on the wall. There you go. The feast fumble. God's response, and then the queen's advice. Lloyd, I'm going to let you take over, just so you go. So to begin, the feast's fumble. Let's read from verse 1. It reads, King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in front of 1,000. Belshazzar, when he tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and of silver that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken out of the temple of Jerusalem, that they be brought. That the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought in the golden vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised these created things, gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Now, some scholars would say that what King Belshazzar did in this moment was defiant, and specifically defiant towards God. Why? At first, all we know is that it's just from the temple of Jerusalem. It's in Nebuchadnezzar's possession. Now, when he says his father Nebuchadnezzar, I just want to point this out. It's actually, they're not biologically related. Belshazzar is the predecessor of Nebuchadnezzar. It's the kingship of Babylon, the lineage of the Babylon kings. So what's the big deal? And they're just vessels. It's just a cup. But in order to understand why this behavior is so defiant, we have to kind of take a further step back to go forward. So Daniel 1, the first chapter in which that we read in going through this series, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. God allowed it to happen with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar. Shinar is also Babylon. To the house of his God. And placed these vessels in the treasury of his God. So it depicts a little bit more. The Lord allowed it to have Nebuchadnezzar have possession of these vessels. And further in 2 Chronicles 36, we see why. Verse 5, it says, why? Because the king that had possession of it at the time, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. And against him came up King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him and took him in chains to Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar also carried what? Part of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon. So, the significance of the vessel we see again in 2 Chronicles 5. Thus, all the work that Solomon did for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in the things that David his father had dedicated and stored the silver, the gold, and all the vessels in the treasuries of the house of God. Don't you love it when the word interprets itself? The vessels we see here referenced in Daniel 5 are the same vessels spoken of in 2 Chronicles and the beginning of Daniel. These were originally dedicated by David for the purpose of worshiping God and kept in God's temple. King Belshazzar, in commanding the vessels be brought and used to drink and celebrate these smaller gods, he's misusing the vessels themselves from their original purpose. Belshazzar is celebrating his own selfish desires and intentionally choosing to defy God and to repurpose these vessels to idolize these created things instead of the Creator. See, these small gods were idolized at the time, gold, silver, and wood, because they represented prosperity in Babylon. That's what brought meaning to people in the lives there in Babylon. And what about Brisbane? In this place we are described in the beginning of this series for those who are in Christ, this is our home and can be described as our current Babylon. Heirs with Christ we are and are adopted into the kingdom of God. And we have been exiled here to Brisbane. It's a pretty nice place to be exiled to, just saying. How have we at times taken time to consider whether we in our lives today have been tempted to potentially defy God? See, the Word of God sometimes describes us as vessels, our bodies as vessels where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, our body being a temple. And at a time now in 2023 where social media and the competition to achieve in our studies, be at school or in uni, top marks that tempt us to define us or impose purpose, or even the competition within ourselves to achieve and respond better emotionally at home or with friends. Even the rat race of our career or being the best stay-at-home mom or the best stay-at-home dad My question to you this morning, church, is how's your vessel? Do you know who is defining your vessel? Yourself? The world? Or God? And how is our lives being utilized to glorify God? Or are our lives adopting the things we see in the culture that we currently live in? See, the significance scholars mention of the vessel is not only were they dedicated by David to worship God, but they were sacred items. Someone say sacred. Yeah. Never to be broken or infringed or dishonored. They were set apart for God. King Belshazzar instructed out of defiance and arrogance to utilize these sacred items, and the original purpose of the vessels was spoiled. Purposely, to idolize the things at the time that seemed powerful or would bring prosperity. Even the opportunity that Belshazzar has to actually be in possession of the vessels was ordained by God. We saw it in the beginning of Daniel. Yet, in my language or in Samoan language, it's fiopoto, okay, or fiopoko, right? He's trying to act like he's smart and be like, let's see what you gonna do, God. Some people, or my people from up north, we say, you're trying to be a big nerder. You're trying to act like you better than or higher than God. Yet he defies God in this moment, and defiance meets God's response. Verse 5, immediately the fingers of a human hand, you can't get this in Marvel, man. Thanos, eat your heart out. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand, this is happening in real time, are you catching this? Appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, opposite the lampstand. I was like, Lord, why are you saying the lampstand? It's very detailed. Why? It says further, and the king saw the hand as it wrote. This is purposely and intentionally for the king to see. You want to defy me? This is my response. What happens next? The king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. I love that. In the bottom it says, and his knees knocked together. Divine intervention and King Belshazzar's response is fear. So now he calls for help, right? He calls for all these people who believe in stars and magic and other idols to interpret a godly intervention. And there's a reward. Verse 8, it says, Then all the king's wise men, or it says you'll be a ruler, I'll give you all the purple robes that you want, all these materialistic things, you're going to get a gold chain, and you're going to do all these amazing things and be the third ruler, status. But, verse 8, then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not interpret or make known to the king its interpretation. Belshazzar's reliance on spiritual guides and various kinds was a reflection of his vessel, one that fosters fear and turmoil and fighting for peace, as he couldn't recognize what God was doing at the time. He's calling upon the spiritual advisors to help him depict what's occurred. Verse 10, right, we see this is the queen coming through and gives some advice. So the queen actually gives a rundown of Daniel and speaks, I'd say, highly of him and says, there is a man in your kingdom in whom, this is verse 11, is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans. Why? Verse 12, because an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles and solve problems were found in Daniel and Daniel alone. His gift made room to bring him before great people. His reputation and his character preceded him. His vessel made room to allow the Lord to be seen within his character and his obedience to God in utilizing the gifts that God had gave him. Daniel was being used as a vessel for God and making it known. Why? Because he exhibited wisdom, and it was known even to the queen of his relationship with God. The gift and character seen in Daniel differentiated him from any other person. Spiritual advisors could not do what he did. He, as a vessel of the Lord, stood out and was set apart as his stewardship, his lordship, defined two things. Who was pouring into him? Daniel was very clear of whom he represented. And the second is, he recognized the purpose of the overflow. The purpose of the overflow of what God had poured into his life, into his vessel. Remember chapter 6? Pastor Nelly mentioned to us last week, right? He broke down in the last week. Daniel was not a man who wasn't new to devoting his time to God, but he would go away and pray as he had done previously. He knew what it meant to be with God in the secret place so that the public place was a continual reflection of what happened in his time alone with the Lord. He understood that his gifting, which was God's in the first place, was given to him to address the current needs of the people, that they may see his glory, God's glory. How's your vessel? Are you aware of the purpose of your overflow? And can I be real with you, church? Because, you know, if we're going to really be family, I'm just going to say this because the Lord had to check me. Do you have an overflow? And is that overflow from the Lord or from us? How are we using our gifts God has given us to overflow from our vessels to impact the spheres of influence? And now we come to the main part of the text. See, if we just skip to the main, we would have not enjoyed the entrees coming through. So now, are you prepared and ready to eat? We see here King Belshazzar's response. Now, I'm just going to recap on Belshazzar. I love him. Honestly, I love him. At first, I was like, this guy is a fool. And then I look back and he was like, this guy is me. But he's moved from defiance and arrogance, right, in the top of the chapter. He's then moved to fear and then now to a degree of selfish gain. Then Daniel was brought to him and he says, what Bianca shared with us. You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king of my father brought from Judah. Pause. The queen just had to give a rundown of who Daniel was. But now he's in this moment of acting like, I know you, Daniel. I know what you do. I brought you here. Nebuchadnezzar brought you here. I have heard that you have read it again. Verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and the enchanters have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of the matter. But I have heard that you can give interpretation and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be, here we go, here's the reward, clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Have you ever come amongst those people who just like prop you up really hard and are like, man, girl, you looking good. You just flying up and through here. I need a favor. Have you ever done? If you are beside that person, you better look straight at me, okay? Just look directly towards me. I'm going to spill all my tea because I'm not going to pay out anybody else. I do that. And this is, just so you know, if I ask you for a favor, this is how it goes usually. Hey, how are you? So good to see you. What are you doing? And that's usually how it goes. Or I add the, hey, how are you, bro? Good to see you. You know, the awkward, like, I don't know what you're doing with your body kind of vibes. I need a favor. And I need you to do it now. This is Belshazzar in this moment. Everybody else can't help him. So he's like, you're this, you're that, Daniel. Help me out. I'll give you the world. I'll give you gold. I'll prop you up and say you're the third ruler. Excuse me, I'd love to be the first. Sit down and be, I want to be king. But, see, that's my response. But Daniel's response here we see in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him its interpretation. Are you with me, church? Can we go deeper? So Daniel utilizes the gift of interpretation to bring edification to King Belshazzar. And by relating his behavior to his predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, he's reminding him that God's sovereignty reigns over Babylon and those in authority. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, the peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. God had ordained King Nebuchadnezzar's reign. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made that of a beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. He was unrecognizable until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and set over it to whom he will. And you, son of Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. Though you knew all this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you. And you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold and bronze, iron, wood and stone. These gods do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand is your breath, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. Daniel did not mix words. He edifies in obedience to God. And I wonder whether we would ever, if we were in that situation, be so bold as Daniel was. But see, I venture to say that the reasons why we see within Belshazzar, he was not able to recognize God's hand in this moment and also through the kings of Babylon, is because he, as a vessel, didn't understand whom defines him and what he is purposed to fulfill. To the point where Daniel even draws the comparison, or should I say, the reflection of the lineage of the kings of Babylon. Monkey see, monkey do, right? King Nebuchadnezzar laid down foundations of how to respond to God. Though in the end, Nebuchadnezzar was restored, there were still sediments of defiance that the next generation saw and they replicated. Thus, he didn't know how to live a life in surrender to God. And Daniel, in this moment, recognizes and engages in his purpose as a vessel for the Spirit of God and addresses with compassion the needs of the king, to help the king recognize that he is a product of his lineage, but also that there is a choice to turn away and accept God's sovereignty. Now, if you're a believer in Christ, are you aware of your lineage? The acceptance that you are adopted as a son or daughter of the living God, and that you are a vessel where the Holy Spirit dwells within you. How are we pouring out the gifts of the Spirit or exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control amongst your spheres of influence at work, at home, extracurricular activities. We as vessels may hesitate at times to represent God well. Now, maybe that's not been your story, but that's certainly been mine. And in dwelling on the reasons why we don't represent God well, there's a book that we're reading in Staff, and I highly encourage you to read it. It's about the design to lead, the church and leadership development. It's not about just if you're a titled leader. I'm encouraging you. It's for any discipler, anyone who believes in Jesus and wants to follow the Lord. But there's this chapter 2, and it talks about the holy cause and effect when discussing equipping saints for the ministry. And it recognizes these three barriers that sometimes hinder us: ignorance, comfort or comparison, and a loss of compassion. Ignorance or complacency talks about how sometimes we are not remembering why or who we're defined by. That we're using our cups and not really understanding who is saying that you are a cup. And we can become complacent at times to think, oh, well, a minister just needs to do it and reach out to those that are in my spheres of influence. Helen can reach people I can't. And we are all fitted together, fitted stones fitted together in order that we would be an example of the house of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says, what? But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You can go to the next slide, please, Lloyd. Thank you. A holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may be proclaimed the excellence of him who are called you out and out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are all called the priests, and you may be the only priest in your work to reach those that are amongst you so that they may see the gospel. The second right was a comparison or being comfort. She goes to more prayer meetings than I do. She's got it. He's better at this. So why would I do that? Does that sound familiar? Moses was the same. Do you remember in the burning bush? His response is, Lord, I'm ill-equipped. I'm not able to do this. Yet, he's still chosen as a leader. And we see the same when the Lord gives the Great Commission. Matthew 28, right? I love it. Sometimes you can just look at the Great Commission and think, go forth and make disciples. Like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? But the verses before it says that some worshipped the disciples, some worshipped and some doubted. And does God separate the doubters and say, to the left, please. Let me just bring on the worshippers to the front. No, he calls them both and says, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and are disciples of Jesus, we are called, and what a beautiful thing that we can bring our doubts before the Lord. We can surrender to him and know that he will carry us and walk us through. The last one was talking about a loss of compassion. Sometimes you have made efforts, right, to reach out and speak to people and share the gospel, and it's not always gone okay. I've done the same, been there. There's sometimes that I've gone up to people in the middle of the great court in the university, and I've been like, okay, Lord, what are you going to ask me to do? And then he's like, go talk to this person. I'm like, alrighty. And then, pow, epic fail, man. Seriously. I'm so grateful that these people have not seen that yet. Praise you, Lord. But at some way, shape, or form, we'll do that. But sometimes it's been like a crash and burn. And yes, there's been moments that I've been like, are you really calling me, God? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? But you get up again after you cry 1,000 times in the shower. No, I'm kidding. You get up again because you know that that's your purpose. That's what God has called you to do. And even in these moments, I'm reminded of Matthew 25. What does Matthew 25 say? Oh my gosh, I cannot read that writing on the bottom. It says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So, I hope you hear my heart that we're just not saying, go forth and give it a go. I am saying that. But also I'm taking a moment to reflect on how's your vessel. And the reason why we gather on a weekly basis in church is to be equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit and share with one another our testimonies and then go forth and go out and continue to do it again in the next week. Now, I'm going to do this next photo. And if you know me, I'm very private and don't really like to share much about my family, but I'm walking in obedience to the Lord in this moment, so it's a very vulnerable moment. Cue tissues. No, I'm kidding. This is my lineage. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it. You're the best. This is my lineage. And in speaking and seeing about the lineage that we see here in Belshazzar, I felt like the Lord is also speaking to us about our lineage today. And so the woman in the middle is my grandmother. And the woman on the far right, is that right? Yes, is my mother. And these women are not perfect. Neither am I. I mean, I'm pretty, I'm up there. No, I'm kidding. But they have poured into me and taught me what it meant to put God first. Even as I was preparing for this, and I just even know that they're praying right now in this moment, that some of the things, you know, they would say is, you know who your helper is. And my mother is very good at saying to me, when I'm sharing of what God is doing on the campuses and things, she's like, pride cometh before a fall, Samantha. And I was like, I'm just sharing what God is doing, like, chill. So they have poured into me, and sometimes it's not always been easy what they poured into. And there's been times that I have to surrender some things of generations that we're still carrying, stuff that is just not God ordained. And I also have this moment and realize that that's what I'm called to do, pour into others and to share with the nations. They have trained up a child in the ways of the Lord, so I shall not depart. Even though at times I've been just as Belshazzar has, arrogant and stubborn and defied God, seriously. But now I am in this moment where I recognize I'm here and I'm called to make disciples of the nations. Plain and simple. And I have the honor I get as ninangs of 4 beautiful boys to come alongside their parents and grow and train them up as to what God is calling them to do and their purpose for their lives. I get the honor of walking alongside our wonderful youth team here, Bianca, Sess, and Jeremy, and Eddie, and Pastor Nelly, and the team, to pour into your wonderful kids here at Youth. Oh my gosh. you know, sometimes they're really stretching me and growing me to like really lean on the Lord. As a parent, I say, congratulations, good on you, of what you do each and every single day. I get them for 3 hours and I'm like, oh, take it back. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They're blessings. They're blessings. And truly I see, even in this, when I'm speaking and sharing with the youth, that they are truly a reward from heaven. And the honor I also get of these guys here, these beautiful campus students. I call them my kids. I know I am not possessive. They are not mine. They are the Lord's. But the honor that I get to walk with them through each moment and see what God is truly doing in their lives and growing together. It doesn't make sense that we would all get along. You have people from China, from Canada, via Korea. You've got like people from Singapore, Indonesia. You know what I mean? Like, it's only God that's weaving us together that we would get along, but also have this richness of delving into the word of the Lord. And so I'm not presenting my family to you to be like us. No. What I'm saying is, do you see what God does in lineages? Do you see what he does in the heritage? And it's also because of where we're of who is pouring into us and where we are to pour out in the overflow. That's why the church is so important. That's why coming here together is important, that we are realigned again to know who is pouring into us and how to pour out of us being vessels. And at times, if I'm real, I love you, church. We are good. And not just our church, but other churches. Capital C Church is good at pouring into one another, but not always good at pouring out. If we're only doing half the function, we're only seeing what half of our capacity is. And my encouragement to you today from the Lord is to pour out. Be in a positions where you can pour out and see God's glory amongst the people around you. There's a reason why there's some people, even in your mind right now, God is reminding you of the people in your workplace, in your school, in your university. You were called to reach them with the gospel. God can use anything, but he's using us. Will you take on the challenge today and be the vessel that the Lord is asking you to be? And he doesn't do it to say, go by yourself. That's why you're a vessel of the Holy Spirit, that he is with you in those times. So there's three groups that I'd love to pray for this morning. The first group is you are poured into. You are holding the Spirit. And you're ready to pour out, and you're like, send me. But you don't know where to go, who to go, when to go to. What does that look like? I'd love for us to take time to just wait upon the Lord. Can I tell you, it's not rocket science. It's usually the people that are around you is whom he's called you to pour out into. And when we say, you know, we can sometimes be overwhelmed at like the gifts of the Spirit. What we're really talking about is us being vessels, is the fruit of the Spirit, exhibiting love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And so we're going to ask the Lord, if that's you, you're that type of person and you're ready to pour out, oh Lord, where do you want me to go? Who is that next person around me? And what am I to do? Am I to pray first for this person, or am I to go out and in conversation at some point? Share, even share my testimony or just talk about God. Is that okay? That's the first group. So you're the pour outers. Yeah, you're supposed to do that when you move. No, I'm kidding. The second group, the Lord has so much compassion for you. As I was praying for you this week, the second group was for those that have seen the barriers. Sometimes we have been ignorant of what we were defined to do. Can I be real? Sometimes we have become comfortable and compared that I'm not the best, so I won't go. and particularly those who have lost your compassion. Compassion for your neighbor. The Lord has so much compassion for you this morning. So if that is you, can I tell you that the Lord loves you so much today? And that He, if you trust Him enough, has enough compassion for you to be filled and to overflow. That when I've been talking, you've been like, oh, she's just telling me to go again. I can't even do it. Just pick someone else, please. But that the Lord is asking you again, would you recognize what I am doing and how I'm trying to fill you to full and overflowing? And that I have authority and power enough to then be equip you to see that you can pour out again and that your well will never run dry. The last group is that you didn't know, but you were in some way, shape, or form defying God. That you've not realized that you actually had a purpose in life. And that purpose is ordained by God. And you were called to live a life with Christ. See, Jesus was the ultimate example of this vessel. He was exiled, taken down from heaven here on earth, lived a perfect life and demonstrated through preaching to and healing others of what it meant to pour out and to continue to be filled. And then in addition, He took the cup of judgment Himself upon Him, that we can now receive His grace and walk in this restorative relationship with God and with others. That's the power of the gospel. So, are you good, church? We're going to flip things up a little bit. And we're going to, in this moment, I ask you, Koya Raymond, if you can come. We're going to move in those three categories, those three groups. If you were the first group and you're ready to be poured out, I'd love for you to just remain where you're seated and then huddle around the people around you and begin to just pray and intercede in respect of how you are to be poured out. That second group, that at times you've been complacent, the Lord wants to meet you today. And at times you've lost compassion for others. Can I be honest? Been there. But I sense from the Lord that He wants to fill you again to full and overflowing and meet you in this place. I would ask that you would be so bold to come forward. And this is not just because that's where the lights hit. I'm not trying to put you out on show. But this is an altar. It's more than just a piece of flooring. And would you be so bold to walk in faith and lay it at the foot of the cross and allow the Lord to pour into you again?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.